As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Possible jetpack man in sight.
The FAA and FBI are investigating a startling report of what they're calling an airspace intruder, a man wearing a jetpack.
Is this mysterious jetpack flyer at it again?
The FAA says two airline crewmen reported the close encounter Sunday night approaching Los Angeles International Airport.
3,000 feet above the Pacific Ocean, an astonished passenger on the plane capturing the sight on camera.
A Boeing 747 pilot reported seeing the flying object near LAX last night.
Did you see the UFO?
The sighting triggered a cascade of alerts from the control tower and a comparison to the superhero movie Iron Man.
Investigators are skeptical it was in fact a jetpack, but talk about a high-flying mystery in the skies over Los Angeles.
That's our American 1997. We just passed a guy in a jetpack.
The scary sight soaring across Southern California. The speck in the sky is what appears to be a jetpack. At 3,000 feet, it's streaking past this pilot in a private plane. The close encounter just 7 miles from the land.
Then another jetpack sighting moments later from a Southwest pilot.
Southwestern 962, and we just saw the guy pass by us.
JetBlue 23, he's captain. Person in a jetpack reported 300 yards south of the LA final at about 3,000 feet.
JetBlue 23, we're heard and we're definitely looking.
This past fall, two others were reported to be dangerously close to planes taking off and landing, where a crash could be catastrophic. One reportedly coming within 300 yards of a passenger jet.
Use caution, there was a jet man reported just north of Gate C.
All right, we're looking for the Iron Man.
But just what it is remains a mystery.
We've got airplanes approaching LAX at 180 to 220 miles an hour. At this stage of the game, they're most vulnerable. They may not be able to maneuver as quickly out of the way, so a collision would be catastrophic.
Use caution for the jetpack.
All right, we're looking for the Iron Man.
Only in LA.
Featuring Joe Sweeney from Thinking Sideways Podcast and filmmaker Vincent Calderney, this is The Shocking Details.
Hey there. Welcome to another episode of The Shocking Details. I'm Joe, joined by Vincent. Say hi, Vincent.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Thought I'd shake things up a little bit.
Yeah, you threw me off.
Yeah, well, we're going to shock you this week. We're going to shock the pants right off of you. Because we're going to talk about, there's a new character in the Marvel Comics universe. His name is Jetpack Man. That's right. Yeah, Jetpack Man. Actually, and Vincent, you're the expert on this particular story. You want to bring us up to speed on what's going on here?
Before I get to Jetpack Man, I just want to go back a little bit and kind of set us up for why this story caught my attention, why I think it's interesting. Back in college, my roommate Steven had a shirt, and that shirt read, "This was supposed to be the future. Where's my jetpack?"
Yeah, which I think kind of a generational thing, because in my generation, you know, what we all say is, "Where's our friggin' flying cars?"
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. Jetpack is catchier. Yeah. Yeah, I had like a retro, like 70s illustration of a guy in a jetpack. Yeah. And I think it kind of captured this like millennial post 9/11 malaise. And, you know, it's like we were literally living in the 21st century, but what do we have to show for it? A pair of quagmire wars, Napster had been shut down, and Creed was on the radio. But we did have the movies. And yep. I think it was actually a pretty cool time for movies. And one of the things that was going on was that CGI was not just changing how special effects were done, it was actually changing taste in film. So I got another quick memory for you from a few years after that. I'm going to an indie movie and there was a massive line, but the line was not for whatever sensitive and or foreign fare I was there to see, but for this little film called Iron Man.
Oh yeah, I heard about that one.
So In that line, I kid you not, there are the 20-something year old versions of two kids who used to just mock me mercilessly in middle school for, get this, reading comic books like Iron Man.
I know.
And these two meatheads were literally fist bumping the air at the excitement of over the prospect of seeing RDJ jet through the air and repulsor blast some bad dudes. So it was a really weird moment. In some ways, I think the Marvel Cinematic Universe kind of gave us all our 21st century jetpacks. I think the prospect of using tech to achieve things that no ordinary human ever could, that could elevate a smart but otherwise ordinary man to the level of the gods of old, in films like Iron Man or The Avengers or The Dark Knight Trilogy, was a form of fantasy fulfillment.
Yeah, it was. And
it is.
I always felt that Iron Man was, of course, his little suit is actually physically impossible, at least remotely like the tech that we have today.
Where do you start? After the first one, he had nanobots or something.
Yeah, no, it's just a question of like, where do you put all the energy necessary to propel you around the sky for hours at a time?
It's in his heart. It's in the arc reactor inside his chest.
Yeah, which is like,
Joe,
again, how does that translate into kinetic energy that, you know, rockets you around, you know? I mean, I'm not as smart as Robert Downey Jr. I'm not claiming that I'm going to, you know, that I can understand how the tech works. Okay. So,
right,
know,
maybe but
okay, pretty
but,
straightforward.
But seriously, Joe, how fantastical is it though? I mean, you can buy a ticket to space if you're rich enough, and jetpacks, they actually do exist now.
I got to tell you, jetpacks actually were in existence when I was a kid. I mean, there were people that had prototypical jetpacks that didn't work fantastically well, and they were huge and bulky as hell, but there were such things. I mean, but I kind of suspect that the fact that they never really caught on with anybody is that they were kind of uncontrollable, unreliable, and just downright dangerous.
And so, oh, yeah. I think they still are.
Today, I suspect, are technologically far better and more safer.
They are.
100% safe to use.
I would not call them 100% safe. I mean, they're still pretty basic.
Really. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, we're still a long way from being able to safely fly thousands of feet into the air and blast aliens. But tech is funny. Plenty of tech reportage about advancements is just the media rubber stamping dubious press releases from loudmouth tech bros fishing for additional venture capital spending. What if somebody off the radar in secret was already out there Iron Manning around?
Yeah, that's entirely plausible. Somebody's made a breakthrough and they're just, you know, they're just going through the patent process now. So that's why we haven't heard about it. So maybe this is the case. Let's go back. Let's go jump into the Wayback Machine and go not very far back, just to the 30th of August, 2020.
Yeah.
Which is not far back. Let's imagine.
No, not at all.
Not years, really. 30th of August, 2020, the aircraft control tower at Los Angeles International Airport received a somewhat unusual radio transmission. It was coming from an American Airlines flight, flight 1997. Mm-hmm. Transcript of this rather unique message reads as follows. Are you ready for my pilot voice, Vincent?
Do your pilot voice. I'm really excited.
This is
American 1997. We just passed a lone man flying off our left side, maybe 300 yards or so, about our altitude.
Okay.
You know, I could have put some, like, effects on that to make it.
No, it's just easy for me to, like, put my hands on the side of my nose.
That's what it sounded like you did. Okay, but this transmission was so strange that the air traffic controller in the tower actually assumed he had misheard the pilot and just dismissed the transmission altogether, assuming it was a report of not a lone man flying, but rather a private jet or something to that effect.
Yeah, somebody out there in a Piper Cub or something like that. Yeah, that's what I would have assumed too. He says, there's some dude flying. I would think it's some dude flying in a small plane or something. But just minutes later, that same air traffic controller got another transmission, this time from a Utah-based SkyWest pilot who confirmed the original report. This was, let's play the tape.
Tower, I think we just saw the guy passing us. I think he's wearing a jetpack.
Okay, that's so confirmation. Two pilots just in short order are reporting this thing.
Yeah,
that was it for August 2020, and we'd have to wait a few months for the next report. They never did. I think I don't know. They just assumed it was an anomaly or a weather balloon or what.
What are you going to do? It got reported. It was like in the paper and stuff, but like two guys saw a guy flying around up in the air. They didn't know what to do about it. What they figured. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But then on the 14th of October, the pilot of China Airlines flight 006 reported seeing a flying object like a flight suit jetpack, I believe was actually the words used to describe it, at around 6,000 feet. Now, this encounter, interestingly enough, and I don't know why this was, just didn't get the publicity that the other ones did. But this particular pilot, I don't have his name written down here, he just refused to let his encounter die, and he became later kind of a major figure into the investigation of Jetpack. So just hold on to this.
Yeah, Jetpack Man, our new Marvel character. And so, like, months go by, actually, just a couple of months. Just like 1 month, November 2020, a Los Angeles Police Department helicopter crew spotted what appeared to be a man floating in the sky above Beverly Hills. But the cool thing here is that the cops and the chopper weren't glued to the stick the way airline pilots are. They weren't committed to, you know, getting their passengers to point B at a certain time. So the spotter officer pulls out his phone and snaps a clear picture of this flying man. So there we go. Mystery solved. Well, no. Yeah.
On closer inspection, the photo revealed that the Iron Man Isle of LA was really just a balloon, like a helium balloon, designed to look like the Nightmare Before Christmas character Jack Skellington.
Oh, yeah. I remember that guy.
Actually, kind of makes sense. This is November. So, you've got the gringo holiday of Halloween and the Latino Chicano holiday of Dia de los Muertos. Those have just passed. Both cultures have come to embrace the relatively recent pop culture phenomenon of the movie, The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, fun flick. And, yeah.
Oh, it's a great movie. And it's kind of grown. Even I think there are people who could identify Jack Skellington, but actually have never seen that movie. It's kind of gone beyond that. That balloon had probably almost certainly escaped from a Halloween party or something like that at some point in the week prior. I think it was just November 4th or something like that.
Yeah, I've been floating around LA ever since.
Yeah. You go. Mystery solved. It's just Jack Skellington. That's all the. Maybe.
Now, the Jack Skellington balloons, though, now that's just an inflatable Mylar head of Skellington, and the rest is just like crepe paper, right? His body is not an inflatable balloon, correct?
In this case, anyway, I'm sure there are different ones. In this case, it's just a big skull head and then paper parts hanging off of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And you can look up this picture. This picture is really easy to find on the internet. We'll post it on our social media. Yeah. But everything kind of lined up. A lot of people were pretty sure that they'd figured out who the Iron Man was. Yeah, the man was reported to be in a standing position, just like the Jack Skellington balloon. It was in the same airspace, more or less, I guess a little south of where the other reports were. And the rumors of the jetpack-wearing wild man of the air was, they were known among aviation circles, with less substantial reports having leaked to the internet from other pilots in the months after the initial tower calls, claiming they'd seen them. Some of them even claiming to have predated that, though these are less, I don't find them any written down anywhere.
Yeah.
So it was around, it was known.
This is like the same balloon floating around LA or a bunch of different
balloons? That's what people were claiming.
Yeah. The same balloon.
I guess so, or the same type of balloon.
That's not possible, but because
that I do not buy.
Mylar balloons actually don't hold their helium that long. I can tell you from personal experience, they're just not that great at holding it in. But but the helicopter crew of the LAPD, they believe they had totally solved the mystery of all these sightings. And I suppose you could say you could have an alternative theory. Maybe it was a bunch of Jack Skellington balloons, not just the one. And when you look at it, with the speed that commercial jetliners travel, I mean, those guys didn't have very long to be looking at our flying jetpack man out the window, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were rocketing along. So with the speed that they travel, it's possible that all pilots just got a very quick look at this balloon and thought it was a man wearing a jetpack.
Yeah, and it looks similar. So
yeah, I mean, because the Jack Skellington balloon did look remarkably similar to their mystery jetpacker, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for
skeptics,
sure.
Yeah, skeptics, pretty much declared this mystery solved on the internet and the media. They were just one and the same. Mystery of the jetpacker was solved, or was it?
And this is actually what inspired me to put the story, kind of on my tracker for this podcast, because I wasn't buying it. I don't think Jack Skellington is the jetpack man. And here's why. The Jack Skellington balloons are a popular Halloween and Day of the Dead decoration, but the first sighting was all the way back in August. It's not impossible that someone would buy and release, for one reason or the other, a Jack Skellington balloon in August, but would it really spend the next, 4 months or whatever floating around LA's airspace? Is that even possible?
Well, no, it's not. I lived in LA for a few years, and I got to tell you this. The winds in LA come in off the ocean and blow eastward. And you can see it with your own eyes, because you watch it over the course of the day. You watch all the smog build up in East LA up against the mountains there. And all the smog gets blown. This is why West LA real estate is worth a lot more than East LA real estate. One of the main reasons, anyway.
And that's
consistent. It's every day. And so, that balloon is not going to stay floating above LA. Believe me.
I tried to figure it out. I looked at some meteorological charts. I'm not really an expert in this stuff, but the best answer I could give you is it would be extraordinarily unlikely.
No, besides the whole fact of the winds, again, those Mylar balloons just don't hold the helium in for that long.
That's kind of, I looked into it. That's kind of what I found out. I was trying to see if they have high quality Mylar balloons that could maybe somehow survive. And the answer is probably not, but you also understand this is not just the balloon itself, right? There's other stuff attached to it. So it's weighted down by paper decorations that would increase weight and drag on the balloon, reducing its ability to gain altitude. Mm-hmm. And when I researched what the balloon was made out of, it would be, Mylar. That's what the balloon's made of. But the paper products associated would be crepe. Yeah. That'll make it as light as possible. You put too much stuff hanging off of that balloon, it'll just drag it to the ground, and then it won't be a fun decoration anymore. So they went with the lightest material that they could, afford. How long can crepe paper stay stuck to a piece of Mylar at high altitude conditions?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. It certainly is it going to dangle straight down like you need to have it, in order for people to see this as a guy in a jetpack? It depends on the wind, I suppose.
If
it's not too windy out, but if it's windy at all, then I would imagine it gets sort of blown horizontal.
It'd be dragging behind it. It'd look like a sperm, not a Jack Skellington.
The
answer I also came up with is I just don't think that stuff would stay stuck on there. It's probably just a little dab of glue holding each piece on, and it's crepe paper. It'd rip under high wind conditions.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, this is kind of point C on this, is it it's also very worth noting the cops and the chopper were thousands of feet lower than any airliner. And this discrepancy, I think, matters. Why did it stay in the same airspace for months on end undamaged, but then suddenly descend thousands of feet in a different part of LA?
Well, again, though, there's this possible there were multiple balloons, for one sighting. But still, I actually have no idea if a balloon like that would be capable of getting up to 6,000 feet, like the China Airlines.
Yeah, that's actually something I was trying to figure out too, is because helium balloons have a ceiling that they can inflate and rise to. Right. That's why you can't send a balloon into outer space.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately. Right. Too bad.
And it would be make space travel a lot easier. But no, you can't just let your helium balloon go and have it end up on Saturn.
But anyway, back to the story, though. I mean, people had moved on from the Jetpack Man of Los Angeles, but wasn't too long before there was another jetpack sighting. And when this was reported, of course, this reignited the public's belief that there really was a dude out there in a jetpack.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. So I remember that guy, Flight 006, that was the China one, right? The Chinese.
Yeah, China Airlines. Airlines.
Yeah, yeah. So that pilot actually has maintained a healthy online presence on sites like Twitter, Instagram. He never backed off from his report from the prior October. And when reached for comment, this pilot from China Airlines firmly stated that what he saw was not some errant party balloon. He said he was experienced enough to know the difference between a cartoon skeleton and an actual human being. And so there you go. But on the other hand, of course, this was kind of his claim to fame. So I think folks consider it not unreasonably, not necessarily fairly either, but you know, he was either crazy or that he just was really, he had some skin in the game because, you know, this was what the world knew him by. You know, he sighted this UFO above Los Angeles. And so he's pushing the story for personal gain or just for egotistical reasons.
Maybe. Right.
Or maybe he's just telling the truth. Straight up truth.
I think that is possible. Yeah. And I think he's about to be vindicated, honestly. But we're going to make you wait through a commercial break to hear about how this seemingly crazy pilot from China Airlines actually probably was not just telling tales out of school on the internet. So we're going to get to that as soon as we hear from our so awesome sponsors.
Yeah. Our sponsors this week are Acme Jetpack. So we'll be back in 1 minute.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
And we're back. So I just, was just thinking about the coyote wearing a jetpack there, you know, because Acme jetpacks, what do you think of, you know, right?
Anyway. What you should think of.
Yeah, I know, right? Okay, but anyway, we're back to our story here. So Vincent, what happened next in our little tale here? There was another sighting, was there not?
There was indeed. On the 21st of December, a flying instructor... That was the LA base
again, right?
Yeah, this is the end of 2020. A flying instructor with the LA-based Sling Pilot Academy, who also train LAPD's airborne cops, was making a routine flight between Palos Verdes and Catalina Island when he reached around 3,000 feet and he spotted something on the horizon, prompting him to immediately switch on the plane's front-facing video camera.
Yeah,
and the footage he recorded was posted to the academy's Instagram account. And apparently, this footage confirmed the existence of what has been called the LA Iron Man. And it's pretty clear footage. Yeah. You can find it on the interwebs. It's not very hard to find. The footage appears to show a jetpack, a man in a jetpack.
Yeah, it shows a man in a jetpack, not just a jetpack. That would be
not just the jetpack by itself. That's true. There's a guy in there. He's clearly piloting the thing. The video is captured
in the future when the jetpack no longer requires a human being, right? You know, that's like
that's you've gone into the far flung futures.
Yeah, well, it's like a self piloting jetpack. Yeah, human not
needed. So the video's caption on Instagram states that it also could be a drone or just some other object.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say that I'll throw this into the theories end, you know, that maybe somebody has perfected a drone that just looks like a man wearing a jetpack.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We can talk about that later, though. But,
we'll talk about it because I actually have seen some examples of that. If you do watch it, regardless of what you think it is, it's definitely not a Jack Skellington balloon.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
That is absolutely off the table. So that, I think, description has now been pretty well torpedoed. If for no other reason, and this is huge, whatever it is, it moves under its own speed. It's not just bobbing along, being pushed along by the breeze. It accelerates, it slows down. In the short, grainy clip, you can clearly see it doing that. And I think that actually really kind of puts the balloon idea to rest, even if it's not a Jack Skellington. I don't think that's a balloon.
Are you saying that our balloon has been punctured? Oh, no. Yeah. But if it really is a dude in a jetpack, then it remains to be seen, but can for sure say that what was once a silly rumor is really turning out to be a pretty credible jetpack sighting, even though nobody knows who it was. Typically, guys who have developed a really cool new jetpack, they don't keep it secret. The first thing they want to do is, you know, bring everybody down to wherever and show it off. But this is somebody out there doing it kind of on the sly. But the reports, anyway, even less credible reports kind of dwindled, but then again, it was a holiday, so maybe our jetpack dude was busy with that stuff, right? And actually, early 2021, there wasn't much in the way of reports either. It was,
didn't seem like guy was up in the air very much.
No, not really, but man, I don't know. The weather's kind of crappy in January in LA, so that would definitely be down. But February 2, but then after that, it's pretty okay. But we had to wait until July of 2021. That was less than a year ago, which was when the next sighting was. It seemed like that by that time, the existence of the jetpack might have been confirmed, that he'd become something of a normalized nuisance to the pilots of LAX.
Mm-hmm. So
July 28th, a pilot reported seeing a flying object that looked a lot like a man flying with a jetpack hovering off the coast of California at approximately 5,000 feet. That's 1,525 meters for all.
That's a long way up. Europe.
That's a hell of a long way up for a jetpack. It really is. You can definitely breathe at that altitude, and that's not a problem at all. But just, you know, the energy, the fuel to get you up there and then safely back down. Well, that's different. But so this this was a Boeing 747 pilot. He called into the radio control tower to report a "quote unquote possible jetpack man in sight of the control tower." And then relayed this. The control tower relayed this information to the pilot of SkyWest Flight 326, asking him if he had seen the unidentified flying object. Or I should say unidentified flying dude, right? UFD.
UFD.
Yeah, the UFD man. The pilot responded, this is SkyWest. Time for my pilot voice again. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
"We did not see Iron Man. I repeat, we did not see Iron Man."
Unquote. So the control tower beamed that message out to every pilot in the 100 miles radius, telling them to use caution and keep their eyes peeled for the jetpack man.
Here's a quote for us. It's what they said. You want to read this for me?
Do you need
pilot voice
or do you need control tower voice?
Control. Let's do control tower. We better do control tower voice so people don't get confused.
Okay. Control tower is a little different. Yeah. Control tower. "He's just north of the final, around 5,000 feet at gate C." Unquote. That's my air traffic controller voice.
You did a great job, Joe.
Oh, thank you.
The tower not only had visual, but they had him on radar. I mean, holy crap. They've got him. He's confirmed. He's a thing. Yeah. He exists.
He must have been fairly close by to be picked up on radar, but...
Be seen visually from the tower.
Yeah.
Remember, it's just a dude. It was just, 6 feet tall. It's a pretty small thing up in the air. It's not a 747. Alien,
balloon, drone, whatever the hell it was. I don't know. Yeah.
Now, all of these different sightings, they get a little more credible when we learn about the actual jetpack technology that we have.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worth noting that there's really just a handful of companies that actually make these jetpacks. One of these companies is owned by a former Swiss Air Force pilot named Yves Rossi. His particular prototype is a little more like a tiny airplane you wear on your back, and it requires him, the operator, I think he's the only one who flies it, to be hoisted in the air by a helicopter or even just a balloon before takeoff.
Mm.
More credibly, there's a California-based company called Jetpack Aviation.
Oh, hey, Lynn, sorry to interrupt, but Yves Rossi, his thing. Okay, so he has to be hoisted in the air to take off, but can he land? He can still land on his own, right?
Believe so, yeah.
I mean,
I don't know how he lands that thing.
Either that or he's got to somehow reconnect with the helicopter, which...
Yeah, no, I think he lands on his own.
Try to do. I mean...
that sounds dangerous.
Yeah, that sounds like you're going to get...
Yves Rossi's design looks a lot scarier than David Mamon's.
Mm-hmm.
It looks cool as heck, but it looks really dangerous. It's basically strapping a little tiny airplane to your back and then just taking off on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the landing, it looks really, really frightening. So well, there's this guy in California.
Your back, that means you're kind of the landing gear, doesn't it?
Exactly. It looks scary. And also when you fly in it, your stomach is facing the ground. I mean, obviously you're high up in the air. So that makes it very unlikely that someone's using, you know, that it's Yves Rossi up there or that it's someone using his type of technology. But this California-based company, they're called Jetpack Aviation. They're created and owned by the chief executive, David Mamon. They've actually built 5 jetpacks, and they can be worn in basically around your back like a backpack.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you fly in them.
Is that the one that you sent me a video clip of?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Those are pretty cool.
They're pretty freaking great.
They're pretty cool. Yeah.
They really do look like the video of Jetpack Man. So David Mamon, he's the chief executive of this company. He has insisted in many different interviews that none of them are for sale. None of them have ever been sold, and the plans are kept under lock and key, as you know, he doesn't want people copying all of his hard engineering work. When asked about Jetpack Man, he said that his company's jetpacks are technically capable of reaching heights of up to 15,000 feet, but due to fuel constraints, they can only safely get to about 1,500 feet.
I want to point out, too, that of all the, and I've seen a lot of these demo videos of jetpacks, and every single one of them, you always see the guys take off and sort of hover around, like, you know, not too far off the ground. And they just buzz around and stuff. You never see anybody blasting off into the sky and, you know, heading up for 5,000, 6,000 feet.
You never
see that with these guys, right?
No, they just kind of cruise over the land. So here's a quote from David Mamon. Yeah. Do you want to read this one for us, Joe, or should I read it?
Yeah, I will do this in a regular voice and not my native
that'd be nice.
Voice. Yeah. So in his words, quote, to fly up to 6,000 feet from the ground, to fly around long enough to be seen by China Airlines and then descend again, you'd be out of fuel. Honestly, it's more likely an electric drone, perhaps one with a mannequin attached, but a functional jetpack at those altitudes, I'd have to see it to believe it, unquote. And that is the thing. This is always a problem with Iron Man, too, is it's always the fuel, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How much fuel can you carry along, you know? And But, you know, there are possibilities. We'll go over some of this stuff, I guess, in our in some of our theories, you know.
Yeah, so basically, just to recap, in David Mamon's word, to be up there in a jetpack like he has, like he's built, and then be sighted like that would almost certainly be like kind of a suicide mission, especially if you were out over the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, despite his skepticism, that's David Mamon's skepticism, Thomas Anthony directs the USC Aviation Safety and Security Program. He's less skeptical. He told the LA Times, quote, we know for a fact that these things exist and people in that community will know who has bought these packs. So if someone is doing this, I'm continuing the quote here. If someone is doing this, they're going to have to take off and land somewhere. And there's going to be noise. We'll find them eventually. Unquote.
With some strong words.
That was last year, and they still haven't found these
people. Yeah, that was 2021 that he was saying this stuff.
Yeah, they still haven't found these people, which leads me to I have a theory about why they haven't found them, but we can talk about that later if you wish. But
yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
let's definitely talk about that later.
Yeah,
but this guy, this Thomas Anthony, I don't think he likes rogue jet men.
Well, they are kind of a danger to aviation. Let's face it.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, Thomas is saying this guy is actually doing something really dangerous, not just to the jetpack man, but to other people. He went on to say that he doubts the culprit is using an airport to take off and advised investigators to search secluded industrial spots for clues, especially those around the industrial city of Vernon.
Why does he pick Vernon? That's
I odd. Didn't. I don't know. I don't. I thought I was hoping maybe you know a little bit more about LA geography than I do.
Well, Vernon is just like a neighborhood that's south of downtown LA. It's, you know, and it's still, just because it's an industrial area doesn't mean it's deserted. I mean, there's stuff there. I mean, there's people, there's going to be people working there and stuff like that. And so, and it's surrounded also by, lots and lots of other neighborhoods. And so there's going to be people who will hear the noise of the takeoff and look over and see the jetpack man flying up into the sky.
Yeah.
We're talking a lot of people living in that area. So I don't know why he picks on Vernon in particular.
But no idea.
Yeah.
Anthony also stated that large civilian airliners are designed to withstand getting hit by small stuff.
Yeah.
But a big metal, plastic, and meat object getting sucked into the engine.
Yes, it would.
Yeah, that's a dangerous proposition.
I don't know if I told you. I used to work with a guy who had a job in his, you know, in his younger days for Boeing. His job was to fire dead chickens out of a cannon onto the fronts of jets.
Nice. You know,
to test things like windscreen durability and stuff like that. I mean, he had an actual job firing chickens out of a cannon. So they take that kind of stuff into account. But again, we're talking about chickens. So a guy in a jetpack is a lot bigger and heavier than a chicken.
That is absolutely true.
Yeah. So I don't think that. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, if it goes into your jet intake, yeah, it's going to be ugly, especially if you're, you know, if you got time enough to recover from it. But if you're coming in for a landing, say, for example, it's going to throw off your form, I think, a little bit. Suddenly,
I think so. Yeah. And then most of these sightings are around LAX. So pretty scary.
Yeah.
Is one aviation expert, Daniel Millen, put it. You want to read the quote for me, Joe? You're doing the quotes this week.
Okay, I'll do the quote. Okay, quote, "The engines aren't designed to consume something large or metal or something with fuel that's going to burn or explode. That could be potentially catastrophic for an airplane. You could potentially have an engine explode and bring down the airliner, and potentially hundreds of people could die," unquote. He's being a little alarmist there, but he's not totally wrong either.
That plane could crash into a neighborhood. It could be worst case scenario. It could be really bad.
Well, this is why, I mean, if you just look at things like these fairly small little drones that are very popular these days, those are the FAA has clamped down on those quite a lot. And it's entirely because of the possibility of some sort of catastrophic collision with a larger airplane.
Now, oh, yeah, about
that.
For sure.
Those little drones aren't that friggin' big. And one of those could still probably foul a jetliner's jet engine pretty nicely.
I watched a camera crew crash a gas-powered octocopter drone, and it went down hard. I mean, it was like watching it in Central Oregon. Mm-hmm. It just crashed in a forest, but they didn't clear
it. Or did they do it on purpose?
Oh, it was accidental. No, it was a huge loss for that company. Yeah, they wrecked the camera. They wrecked the drone, but it went down hard and had gasoline aboard it. So I would not want to hit that thing with the airplane.
Yeah, wouldn't want to be walking around and get hit by one of those falling out of the sky on top of me either. That would hurt.
No, it was actually really scary.
Yeah.
You could see I thought it was on fire. Turns out it wasn't on fire, but it kicked up such a big cloud of dust. It looked like smoke for a second.
I love it. Well, anyway, we are talking like Los Angeles here, though. Back to our story. A lot of rich people living in LA. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, eccentric millionaire types.
Yeah, so it doesn't seem entirely out of the question that a functional jetpack might fall into the hands of a wealthy daredevil. And if you had the time and money, why not experiment with just the most cutting edges of aviation technology? Mm-hmm. I mean, if Elon Musk gets to go fart around in space, why can't my friend Steven get his jetpack?
Well, that sounds fair to me. Well, I mean,
but if there is a person out there flying around alongside airplanes, it's not just his own life on the line that needs to be addressed. I mean, that is important. It is a safety issue.
You would hope, though, that if you're flying around in your jetpack, you know, that you would maintain some situational awareness. And if a big old jetliner is heading your way, you'd, you know, just get out of the way. So
yeah,
it just depends on how much attention you are paying. But yeah, it's definitely a possibility. Like, for example, the company there, it's a Jetpacks USA. Is that the name of the company?
Jetpack Aviation.
Jetpack. Yeah, that's it. It's possible, like, say, they only have 5 prototypes, you know, but it's possible that the machinists that were making all the parts for those were actually making a few spares and squirreling them in, away into their pockets when they left work for the day. And who knows, yeah. maybe somebody has, you know, actually managed to put together a copy of one of theirs at home.
I think you're right. I think there is a possibility of that, but I would say that, you know, these stuff, they aren't, it's not off the shelf stuff. You don't buy it at Home Depot. The parts are hand machined and extremely niche. And it is a known fact that the FAA is investigating this with the aid of the FBI. So given all that, I would not be surprised if one day we actually get to learn who the Iron Man jetpack man of LA really is.
Yeah, no, we probably will. But yeah, there is somebody out there putzing around in the air, and they're saying, and it sounds to me like even though his behavior may be considered a bit irresponsible, it does sound to me too like whoever this person is, he's made some advances in jetpack technology. So, you know, give him that.
I hope he shares it, because apparently he's doing stuff that, you know, I mean, David Maiman is a pretty, his jetpack is pretty revolutionary. I mean, that's so is Yves Rossi's. And apparently this guy is way ahead of David Maiman. So that's that's pretty excellent. Real quick, Joe, let's toss around some theories. I don't have a real formal theory section planned out, but we got a few minutes. Let's say what we think might be going on with this guy.
All right. Sounds good. Well, I'll just say they're saying, that this person is going to get caught because he's got to take off and land somewhere, which I agree. And he should have been caught because, I mean, there are no empty deserted areas around LA where you can take off. The areas that this has been spotted in around LAX and stuff, those are many, many miles from any uninhabited areas, except one, which is immediately to the west, which is the ocean.
You know, Joe, I'm going to say, I said this to you, but I'm going to say it out loud. I had not considered that. And I think that's a really smart idea.
Yeah, that's how I would do it. But it could be that somebody is, our rich guy is, he's rich enough to putz around with jetpacks. He can afford a yacht. So he's probably taking off from his yacht. And the beauty of that, of course, is if he has a malfunction or anything like that, he can just drop into the ocean and his homies can come and get him. and that would explain too why he's being seen so much by pilots flying into LAX, is because LAX is right next to the ocean, very close to it anyway. And if you watch like some of these videos, like that one of David Maiman, and he's, you know, they do a demo of a couple of their jetpacks, and what do? They take off from the beach and they fly out over the ocean.
Yeah,
because that's a much softer landing than the cold hard ground. If something happens and your jetpack, you know, fails on you. So yeah, I believe that jetpack man is taking off and landing from a boat.
I think that's pretty cool.
Or alternatively, this might be harder. He could conceivably be jumping out of a plane and parachuting down like a little bit until he gets his jetpack started, cutting the chute, and then going from there. Maybe. And then maybe landing on a boat. I don't know. Cause it is, you know, even if you're taking off on the boat, which is a solution to not getting detected, there's still the fuel consideration. How do you get up to 6,000 feet and your limited fuel carry? Although, you know, you could do it the way NASA does it and everybody else does it with rockets and use basically disposable fuel tanks. That's what a 3-stage rocket is, basically.
Yeah, but then would you think someone would find those?
Not necessarily. I mean, the ocean's a big place and there's a lot of flotsam out there. Maybe somebody has found it. Like, but you carry that extra fuel tank that gets you up to like the high thing, and then you just switch over to the other fuel tank and throw the empty fuel tank away because it's just dead weight and air resistance now.
Yeah, I guess you're dropping it on the ocean. Yeah, I guess so.
Lands on the ocean, it bobs around, or maybe it even actually fills with water and sinks. I don't know. But again, if somebody finds it, they're probably not going to know what it is. They're going to assume it's a buoy or something.
That's
possible.
That's possible. Anyway. That is possible. Yeah, I think that's an interesting idea. So some people think that this is a hoax and that what it really is a drone with a, you know, basically like a lightweight mannequin strapped to it.
Yeah, and mannequin.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, that also occurred to me as well. That's highly possible. It'd be a fun prank.
I can try to share a picture. Someone actually built a prototype like that.
Yeah, and you could actually build something that's kind of a light framework that holds like some sort of balloons that you could fill with helium so you can get some lift out of it as well, which would extend the battery life in your drone, assuming you've got a battery-powered drone or, you know, whatever fuel you're using to power your drone. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, something like that would definitely, it's definitely a possibility. I mean, and it does sound like kind of a fun thing. And actually having a drone like that is actually kind of a fun way to test out like jetpack technology in a safe way. Have a dummy that actually stands in for a live human being in your test flights.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's completely possible. I would say you're taking on a lot of risk, getting a lot of trouble for doing that.
Definitely.
Drone operators, they really try to steer clear of places the FAA doesn't want you flying, like airports.
Well,
because you can lose your drone pilot's license and you can do real time for just accidentally drifting into the wrong space. This guy's in major trouble if they catch him.
Well, here's the other
thing. Why? Is it worth it? I mean, I'm not saying it makes it impossible. Like, is it worth it?
Well, yeah, not. But here's the other thing is that how do you keep track of it and control it from, I mean, if it's 6,000 feet up in the air, and I'm presuming it's going to be miles away, you know, just east, west, north, south as well. How do you keep track of your drone exactly?
And, you know, they got drones that can do it. Although I would be really curious, you know, if you're talking about like your 6,000 feet over water, if you're going to maintain that connection, I think you'd need to have some really expensive drone equipment.
Yeah, again, maybe you're on a boat and you probably have to have a sort of a two-way connection where you're getting video feedback, maybe GPS feedback as well from your drone, I guess.
Yeah, it's FPV.
Yeah. So I guess you could do it, but again, it is risky. It'd be actually harder in that case to really maintain the situational awareness you would have to maintain to make sure that there's not a 747 bearing down on you from behind that you're not noticing.
I'd also be really concerned if it were my drone that I would, by adding extra payload and kind of random parts to it, that when you get up at those altitudes, you could get blown off course really easily. You get blown into the water, then you lose everything. And if someone finds it, then now it's your butt on the line. I'm not saying it couldn't be just a fun hoax. Someone's having a blast flying their drone up where they shouldn't have it with a mannequin strapped to it. But boy, that guy's an idiot if he's doing it, because you're not getting it. It's not like you're making money off this.
Well, what you got to do is, if you're doing that, is you get one of those label makers and you make a label that says property of Bart Simpson and you stick it on there. And so when find it, they'll be looking for this Bart Simpson guy, you know, and that'll
throw the FAA right off the trail.
It'll totally throw them off. Yeah.
So let's real quick before we wrap up, let's get into some weirder theories.
Well, there's UFOs and aliens, of course. I mean,
there are people who thought, at least initially thought it was an alien or a UFO or something, you know, flying saucer. That looks like a dude.
Yeah, it occurred to me that it was a foreign, like perhaps a hostile foreign power doing a little aerial surveillance. But it really actually you could put together a much stealthier little drone, autonomous drone.
It doesn't look like a 6-foot-tall man blasting through the air. I had the same thought. And then also I was curious if maybe it was the US government and then, you know, some top secret mission. But they're smarter than to fly their top secret stuff around LAX. Like, they just go to Area 51 and do that. They've got places they can experiment, and I'm sure they are experimenting with cool jetpacks and stuff. I just don't think they're doing it in the skies over Los Angeles.
Well, maybe actually what they're testing out is not so much a jetpack as some sort of stealth technology that renders the jetpack guy invisible. And that's why the sightings have been so sporadic, is they're testing this out and they don't need to worry about civilians spying it because the guy is invisible thanks to our remarkable new technology, the cloaking technology. But, you know, occasionally it fails and the guy is rendered visible. Oopsie. Mm-hmm. And he's spotted by a few pilots and such. So it could be something like that, a secret military thing. I like that. That's out there. That's out there, man.
It's very the other one I was thinking of is a bruja.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Mexican lore around witches that fly. And in that lore, they fly standing upright. Just sort of fly through the air like that, not on a broomstick or not like Superman. Yeah. They just sort of like, just basically like they're standing, but then they float through the air. And there's all kinds of videos of people filming brujas in Mexico flying through the air, whether they're hoaxes, you know, I think they're probably balloons or something, or whether they're an actual paranormal event. I'll keep an open mind until I've had more time to investigate. Mm-hmm. This guy does kind of look like a bruja.
Yeah.
And it did kind of remind me of some of those paranormal videos I've seen on some sketchy YouTube channels of brujas. So
yeah,
I hadn't heard anyone else say it. So I'm going to throw out the theory, even though I don't necessarily embrace it, that it's possible that Jetpack Man is a bruja.
Yeah, I know, he's a bruja with a backpack, and which means that the bruja, I deduce from this that he's on an overnight or maybe even a longer trip. He's got to take some things with him. So he's got a little backpack on. Make it look like a
She's got a little backpack.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's all I got. Joe, do you have any other theories?
No, that's about it. I mean, that's about it. I'm pretty sure that the mystery will be solved. So stay tuned for any updates that we might have. And
we'll find out. Yeah, definitely stay tuned.
Pac-Man is. And we'll see what kind of trouble he gets into when they finally do uncover his identity. I assume he will be in a bit of trouble.
I think he's going to be in a lot of trouble.
Probably. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. So yeah, definitely get in touch with us on social media. Let us know what, or more appropriately, who you think the Jetpack Man is.
And if you are Jetpack Man, of course, or men, there might be more than one of these people, contact us. And we seriously, honestly promise to protect your identity. We will protect your confidentiality. Yeah. We just want to hear your story. Yeah. Especially.
We'll use a voice changer for the interview.
Oh yeah, we totally will. But we really want to know how you managed to get up to these incredible altitudes. And back down alive. Yeah, we want to know. Anyway, please give us a call. We'd appreciate it.
All right. Well, I think that about wraps us up, Joe.
I think so. I think it's time for a little housekeeping here. Of course, stay tuned to hear how to find us via email and social media and all that good stuff. And as always, a little plea here to leave us a nice rating and a nice review wherever you might find this podcast. If you've already done so, then just do it again.
Yes, you know, please do. No, reviews really help us grow the audience and other people find us. And that makes it a lot more fun for everybody, including you. So if you haven't written us a review, please do that.
Absolutely. And if enough people find us, then sooner or later, one of those people is going to be a big time, Hollywood filmmaker who's going to want to make our life story, and we'll get paid big bucks.
That's right. All right. Well, we will catch you guys next week.
Absolutely. Toodaloo. Till next time and all that stuff.
The shocking details can be found at www.theshockingdetails.com. We're on Twitter @shockingdetails. For discussion of episodes and more, our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/shockingdetailspodcast/. Or you can email us at theshockingdetailspodcast@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, please consider giving us a like and a positive review and letting people know about us.
All right. You want to keep buzzing through this?
Yeah, let's keep on through. Unless you got a pedal or something.
Nope, I'm good. Okay. Let's snap and keep on keeping.
Actually, if it would be better for the rhythm of the thing, I'm going to have to pedal at some point. So would it be better for me to pedal now?
Yeah, why don't we do it now? We'll just pause and you can go do that.
So yeah, pause and pardon me. Okay.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.